Welcome to this episode of the Two Weird Hungry Girls podcast. I'm Phoebe.
And I'm Tracy.
This is going to be a fun episode.
I think so.
I am curious to know what you had for lunch today.
Wow, that's a very good question,
Tracy,
Phoebe.
Did you eat lunch? Oh, I didn't eat lunch either.
No, do you ever have one of those days? I honestly did not come in here prepared for that question, and I honestly think I did not have lunch. I know I didn't. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
No. I drank a lot of water today.
Is that good? Like, I want to say that's
kind
really
of,
good.
But not the missing lunch part,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What did I eat?
Did you eat breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a start.
Well, it's a start.
And you like dinner.
Oh, yeah. Because now that you're mentioning it, I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think of it before.
Do you ever notice that, like, the foods you eat, like, do you ever feel like, and maybe this happens the older you get, I don't know, but do you ever eat something and then feel, not just, like, bloated, but you feel like maybe achy?
Yes, I do.
I don't know if it's a thing in my head. Like, I don't know if it's like, oh my gosh, I ate that cake and then I had to get out of the chair and I'm achy.
And your hips
like,
hurt.
And
like,
listen, did I like gain that much weight from eating the cake? Or is it the cake?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You do?
Yeah, yeah. But it's just like you're saying, I usually think it's all in my head,
yeah.
You know. But no, really. Sometimes it's almost like an immediate thing.
Mm-hmm. It can't be the cake.
Couldn't be the cake.
Yeah.
Because that would mean cake is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm ready for that.
you don't want to do that. I understand.
Why, do you have some ideas about this?
I have something. I have someone very special for you.
Yay.
No, really, Tracy. You know this took so long to get him.
I know.
Like, in our space.
I know.
To talk.
I've been dying for this moment.
Really, it's been like weeks, maybe even months.
I think you've been talking about it since the beginning of your Two Weird Hungry Girls podcast.
I think I probably was.
I know.
Well,
I'm sure everybody is just on the edge of their seat right now.
To know who's here?
Yes.
My special guest?
Uh-huh.
I'm so
Are you
going to
tell them?
Yeah.
Oh, let's just keep... No, go ahead.
Okay. We have a very special guest with us, Dr. Phil Gedicke.
Yes.
From Berman Chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you located, Dr. Phil?
I'm at 2851 Center Avenue in Reading, Pennsylvania.
So that's a Reading address?
Yes, it is.
I always thought it was like somewhere not Reading.
Center Avenue. So do we call you Dr. Phil?
You can call me Dr. Phil, sure. Or just Phil.
What do other people... Okay, how about Phil? Dr. Phil. Yeah. I don't want to call you Dr.
Okay.
Phil.
Yeah, I'm not
I mean,
Dr.
if that's
Phil.
Phoebe's... Yeah, no,
yeah.
I just don't... I think I have a...
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil. Dr.
Hi,
Phil.
Hi, Tracy.
But your background, Dr. Phil, I'm going to call you Dr. Phil.
Okay.
Your background, you're a chiropractor.
That's correct.
But you have a background, your studies were in...
Oh, very varied.
Mm-hmm.
Nutrition.
Yeah.
I have a degree in chemistry.
That's what it is.
I have a degree
mm-hmm.
in human anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and here we are. I think today, what are we going to talk about today, Phoebe?
Oh, we're going to talk about...
chemistry.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
No.
I think we just lost everyone.
We're going to talk about cake.
Can we talk about cake?
Yeah.
Let's talk about cake.
Yes, I do.
He does love cake because I made cake and he ate the cake. All of the cake, right? Totally ate all of the cake.
I did. It's so bad, but I have to tell the truth. I did.
You did, but you exercise a lot, though, too.
Yes.
So when you eat cake and you exercise, do you feel this? Do you feel the same stiffness that Tracy and I do? Or is this, like, foreign to you because you exercise for your health?
Well, what's interesting is cake contains a lot of what we call white products, and white products are usually inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to counterbalance the white products that you consume with something that counterbalances it. For instance, exercise. Exercise counterbalances the inflammation that occurs from eating things that are pro-inflammatory foods.
For real?
Exercise?
Yes.
You're not joking.
I'm not joking.
He doesn't look like he's joking.
Yep. I'm not joking.
So that's not the answer I expected. You?
No, I just want to clarify.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh-huh.
So when you say the white foods in a cake, for example, are the things that are inflammatory and cause achiness, right? And exercise
can combat some of that. Yes. For instance, the rule of thumb that I tell my patients is if it's white, it's probably inflammatory. For instance, a lot of white flour, sugar, bananas, dairy,
bananas?
Rice, pasta.
Right.
All of these things are inflammatory foods. Some are worse than others.
Bananas?
Yes. Actually, bananas
Why?
Produce mucus. They uh-huh. produce an inflammatory response in the body. But they also have a lot of good nutrients in
yes.
them as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the lower end of what could possibly be bad for you. But on the top, everyone knows highly processed foods, carbohydrates, starches, those are the things, trans fats, saturated fats, those are the things that you want to try to avoid. Anything that's processed that doesn't actually grow in nature, that is made, usually has an inflammatory component to it. Now, a banana grows in nature, so it has a low inflammatory component.
Mm-hmm.
But a cracker, a piece of cake, a bowl of pasta, especially white pasta,
mm-hmm.
has a higher inflammatory component to it.
Does oatmeal?
Oatmeal does not have a very high inflammatory component.
Good,
it's
okay.
Not processed or?
Well, it's more in its natural form.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay, questions. I have some. So, the white rice, inflammatory.
Well, white rice would be inflammatory,
brown
yes.
Brown rice?
Brown rice is not as inflammatory as white
wild,
rice.
Wild, long grain, whatever, wild rice?
Sort of in the middle between brown rice and white rice.
Okay. White things like whole wheat flour?
Whole wheat flour is slightly inflammatory, but not as inflammatory as processed white flour. It's bleached.
Bleached. Potatoes.
Potatoes are highly inflammatory, which is...
But I really like potatoes.
You know, see, mm-hmm. what's sad about potatoes is that they taste great, but... A potato is sometimes the only vegetable that young people today know because
right.
they eat a lot of French fries.
That's
and
sad.
And so potatoes possess what are called cytokines, which actually are pro-inflammatory messengers that help to promote inflammation in the body. And it spikes your insulin level, it raises your blood glucose levels, and it actually can lead to early diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Potatoes.
So, potatoes, yeah. Potatoes, tomatoes, eggplant, all peppers, these are considered nightshade vegetables. And people with psoriasis want to try to avoid these as much as they can because they produce inflammation and especially affect people with the problem known as psoriasis, which is a skin disorder.
Wow. Okay, so now that you've listed all of
everything that you love.
Go ahead. I just had another question.
Go ahead, ask it.
So the white, I'm stuck on cake.
Oh.
Oh, my.
So if you have cake.
Should we share a piece of cake?
With the whites and all of that.
Right.
What if you put something like cocoa in there?
Oh, my gosh.
It's not white. Yeah, can you counteract the white?
Okay.
The white parts of it with some really dark stuff like.
Healthy.
Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy.
Actually, cacao or cocoa is actually not as inflammatory. Dark chocolate is not as inflammatory as milk chocolate. And it would counterbalance
okay.
some of the effects of you eating your cake. But the
Still.
Rule of thumb, once again, is enjoy some of these things, but everything in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to consume, have your diet all day long, be composed.
Mm-hmm.
Of foods that are inflammatory.
Okay.
Is there a way you can balance your plate? So if you're looking at your plate and you have to eat the potato because you made scalloped
sure.
potatoes.
Sure.
That have the dairy in it, they have potatoes.
And some flour too,
yeah,
I think,
a little
right?
Bit
well,
of flour
yeah, and sure. And usually when scalloped potatoes you'll have some onion. Onion
mm-hmm.
counterbalances the inflammatory effects
mm-hmm.
of
does
the
it?
Potato.
Oh.
Yes, it does. Onion and garlic do. Hopefully you'll have a salad with that scalloped
mm-hmm.
potato meal,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you'll have a piece of grass-fed beef or chicken instead of grain-fed. Grain-fed is more inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
Grass-fed is more natural and is less inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
So you have counterbalanced it with some anti-inflammatory
mm-hmm.
foods that sort of nullify what
it helps.
The bad stuff that you've just done to yourself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about like inflammation in the body... A lot of times, I don't know what you think, Tracy, but I think of like that pain or that stiffness in my joints.
Mm-hmm.
Does inflammation exhibit itself like in other ways that we should be more aware of? And because some people would be like, oh, I don't have stiffness, so I'm going to eat lots of cake and potatoes because I don't have a problem because it's not manifested in...
Inflammation can be manifested, let's say, in your mouth. Your mucous membranes in your mouth can swell. Or you can suddenly develop an irritable bowel after you eat something that your body doesn't completely agree with. Mm-hmm. You can also have swelling in your eyes. You can have a skin reaction. You can have a breathing difficulty after eating certain foods. Some of the more common ones are certain people are highly allergic to certain types of shellfish. So that produces an antihistamine response or a histamine response, in someone who eats that. And the histamines overpower, the mucous membranes become swollen, and it can create almost, it can even send you to an emergency room when it's bad enough.
Okay. So it's not just joint pain.
It's not just joint pain. Joint pain is the more chronic of the inflammatory processes that occur. So if you have a diet that's very high in inflammatory foods, you will eventually start developing joint pain. And 80% of inflammation starts in the gut.
Mm. What?
Yeah.
Everything's the gut these days. I tell you what.
So I would not have expected that.
No. Yeah.
So the inflammation, I mean, it's happening because of what you're eating, but then it's starting in the gut.
80% of inflammation begins in the gut. So if your gut is unhealthy, if you're having stomach or intestinal issues, chances are very good that you are going to have some type of inflammation in your body.
Does that... also, you were talking about the shellfish, like almost like allergy type of thing.
Yeah, if you're allergic to it, then it produces an inflammatory response. You should try to, obviously, for obvious reasons, try to avoid those foods. For instance, for me, it's cherries. I cannot eat cherries. Mm-hmm. I develop an inflammation that closes off my esophagus. It's difficult to breathe. I can't speak. So, obviously, for that reason alone, I don't eat cherries. But in some people, it's a little more subtle. An hour after they eat, they develop a bad stomach issue. And they can, you know, you want to avoid those things as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So how does the exercise... Exercise
counterbalances those inflammatory messengers that you've got in your body. By clearing them out, it gets the blood flowing. It... produces anti-inflammatory messengers, and it counterbalances through the movement of the body, the joints, and also the vascularization of blood flowing through the muscles. Mm-hmm. It starts to cleanse the body. It gets things moving. It gets lymph moving, and it actually moves all the toxins through and gets rid of them. Mm-hmm. As opposed to someone who has a more sedentary lifestyle.
This is good information. I would have actually never thought that exercise helped with inflammation. Is that weird?
If I may say this, exercise actually produces a different kind of inflammation. It breaks down muscle tissue that heals over the next 24 to 36 hours, but that's a whole different topic that we'll have to talk about at another time.
Okay.
But it does combat these inflammatory responses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
How about like when you get puffy in the belly?
Bloated.
When you get bloated.
pointing. Yes, you know this.
Yeah. Is that part of like an inflammatory
response?
Bloated. That is partially an inflammatory response. It could be from a number of different things. You know, for instance, a diverticulum. If a person has a diverticulum, which is an outpocketing of the intestine, and something were to become stuck in there, that would cause a bloated feeling. Mm-hmm. But usually it's an inflammatory response. Something that you might find interesting is that the new trend regarding fat in our bodies is that fat is necessary, and fat has been classified as an organ.
What?
Just like your skin is classified as an organ.
I didn't know.
So fat serves a purpose, actually. I know.
How is
my mind?
Your head just
my
went
head
crazy.
Just exploded.
We shouldn't lose
exploded.
It.
That's right. I'm super healthy. Or I have
a
really active organ.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting to me. This is so interesting.
To elaborate on that just a little bit, what it means is we all need a bit of fat in our bodies. Elite athletes have very low fat contents. But the average person needs a bit of fat to produce hormones in the body. Without the adequate amounts of fat, your body will suffer hormonally. The fat in your body is actually considered an endocrine organ. Endocrine organs are those organs that form hormones. Your thyroid is an endocrine organ. Your ovaries are endocrine organs. So fat is also considered an endocrine organ. So we do need some fat. You don't need an excess amount of fat, but you do need some fat.
This could go on for hours.
Yeah, we've just opened a big box of stuff.
The thing about, taking the fat thing into account, there's this big push for avocados and olive oil, but those other fats are I'm going to just say, the butter is inflammatory as a fat. So is it kind of like the good fats are feeding your fat organ and the bad fats are still doing bad for everything else anyway?
One of the most interesting things I found in my studies was that when I was learning about margarine, there was a trend years ago where people were told to use margarine over butter. They did a study with a group of individuals where they fed them margarine, and then what they did was specific blood testing to see how long it took for the elements in margarine to clear completely from the bloodstream. And they determined that it took 45 days for the body to rid itself of margarine.
Wow.
So
it's hanging out that long.
It's hanging out that long. As opposed to butter that clears within a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Wow.
Could talk about this forever.
The more processed a food is, the more artificial it is, the more it does not occur in nature, the greater the possibility that it is an inflammatory food. Try to stick with foods that are as they occur in nature.
And exercise.
Okay. Yes.
So that there you go. I mean, the list was very long, but if you're eating real eggplant, not fried, maybe baked instead, and you're balancing it, with a lean protein?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Right.
Then that's a good thing?
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Okay.
It's not a bad thing. Usually it's an 80-20 thing. If you can eat 80% anti-inflammatory food and 20% inflammatory food, you'll counterbalance it, and you should be fine. But if you're someone who has a chronic inflammatory condition like arthritis, you really need to watch your intake of the obvious inflammatory foods. Try to avoid fast food. Try to avoid starches. I didn't say completely cut it out. I said please just try to limit and avoid it as much as you can.
Well, and it's encouraging to know that it's not all or nothing. And there's a counterbalance, like you're saying. If you're having that, have this other stuff that's better.
Right.
That'll count. So that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can have cake.
Oh, my gosh. Yay.
As long as you drink some
Of the story.
Some good water with
end
it.
End of story.
that's the punchline, that you can eat your cake.
You can eat your cake.
Mm-hmm. You can eat some cake.
80-20 rule.
80-20 rule.
Eat your cake.
Eat your cake.
But make sure you exercise and balance the foods with, balance the inflammatory and anti-inflammatory.
Sure. Everyone knows about, the hot one was blueberries for the longest time. High in antioxidants. Anti-inflammatory, really beneficial, but just remember the rule of thumb, good whole food as it occurs in nature.
There you go.
Because you
We've
guys
heard
are the,
that before.
You're the food girls, right?
We're hungry for cake. Or mac and cheese.
But it's definite, total inflammation bomb right there. Yeah.
There you
Think
go.
About
With
that.
A glass of milk.
Oh.
Another white food.
I don't drink milk, so that's okay.
She drinks kombucha. Do you drink kombucha?
I don't. I used to. I just don't. I don't like the flavor.
Oh.
You don't?
Might,
oh, I
might
do.
I like Tracy's. The next time you're on, maybe she'll bring you a bottle.
All right.
Maybe. If I don't kill the scoby.
We'll have to talk
pet
more about
scoby.
That scoby. Oh, that's so gross. Anyway, we'll have to talk about that in another episode.
We will.
Because
that's really awful.
It's not. It is awful.
It's not awful.
It is awful. But we'll talk about it another time.
Yeah, we'll have to.
Anyway, so how can people find you? Don't give your home address or anything.
Okay.
But how can people find you?
Thank God you said that, because I was just about to do that. No, if they'd like to talk with me or come to see me, they can see me at Berman Chiropractic at 2851 Center Avenue.
Hello.
in Reading, 610-929-1115.
Okay, great.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And
or through Phoebe and Tracy.
So for nutrition, like that, like
for some nutritional counseling. What's interesting is I don't sell vitamins. I recommend vitamins, but I don't really sell them because I think I'm going to be very frank with you. Years ago, I got the feeling from people that when I would recommend a vitamin, they thought, you're just telling me I need that vitamin because it's on your shelf and
right,
you need to get rid of
it. Yeah.
So I thought, all right, I'm going to cut back on selling vitamins. And now when I recommend something, people run to get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
you have the Dr. Oz effect.
Yeah, kind of.
Wow.
You know what I mean, right?
Yes.
At the health food stores?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Oz
effect. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Can I go back out on the street now? I mean, you pulled me in right off the street.
I know, right? I was like, who's that guy? He looks like he knows about inflammation.
I know.
And eats cake. No, you couldn't tell he eats cake.
You could tell he exercises.
No, he's very healthy.
Very healthy.
Anyway, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yes, thank you. It's nice to finally meet this Dr. Phil, your special guest.
It took long enough.
Yeah, it's all good. I'm so happy.
Wonderful. So thanks for tuning in, guys. And leave us a little podcast love and let us know what you think about this episode. We'd like to hear more of. And you can do that in iTunes at the Two Weird Hungry Girls podcast. And you can find me at phoebespurefood.com for recipes, destination, and local healthy eating inspiration. Because actually, that's what I do, healthy eating.
Yeah, it is true.
That's
right?
True, yes. So thanks for tuning in, guys.
Now let's dig into that cake.
Right? Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.